Our first reading comes from the epistle of Paul to the church at Rome, Romans 5, verses 12 through 19. It's in your pew Bible in the New Testament on page 145. Hear this part of this letter. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death came through sin, and so death spread to all because all have sinned. Sin was indeed in the world before the law, but sin is not reckoned when there is no law. Yet death exercised dominion from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sins were not like the transgression of Adam, who is a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died through the one man's trespass, many more surely have the grace of God and the free gift and the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for the many. And the free gift is not like the effect of the one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brings justification. If, because of the one man's trespass, death exercised dominion through that one, much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness exercise dominion in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, just as one man's trespass led to condemnation for all, so one man's act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all. For just as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many were made righteous. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The gospel reading comes from the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11, a fitting reading for the first Sunday of Lent. You can find it in your pew Bible on page 3 if you'd like to follow along. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will lift you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." But Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." But Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, you know, this is one of those curious Bible stories, and it always comes around on the lectionary on the first Sunday of Lent, so it probably shouldn't surprise us. But my guess is that every person here who was ever in a Sunday school class as a kid knows this story and probably could describe it to me without much prompting. But you may not know its context in the larger Gospel of Matthew. First of all, if you were to look closer at the story on the page, you would discover that it comes right after that famous scene where John the Baptist has just baptized Jesus on the banks of the Jordan River. Jesus has just come out of the water, and he sees the Spirit of God descending upon him like a dove. And he hears God's voice coming down from the clouds, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." And then if you look at the passage just after this temptation story, you'll find that Jesus is just beginning his public ministry and starting to call out his disciples, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." But right in the middle of these two stories, you find this rather curious description. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And this whole passage raises several questions for me. First of all, what was so important about this journey occurring when it did? And why did the Spirit of God lead Jesus into the wilderness with the sole purpose being that he would be tempted by the devil? As our Bible study group asks nearly every time we meet, if Jesus was alone in the wilderness, who was around to record this conversation between Jesus and the devil? What is the significance of this 40 days and 40 nights of fasting? And finally, what does this story have to do with our modern observance of the season of Lent? Well, let me see if I can clear up a few of these questions. First of all, it seems like this wilderness journey was an important first step, both in Jesus' understanding, but also in our recognition of Jesus' dual identity as fully human and fully divine. The wilderness journey must have clarified in Jesus' mind who he was, whose he was, and what was the ultimate purpose for his life here on earth. Well, I believe that this journey through Lent can provide us with the same spiritual understanding. Who are you? Whose are you? And what is the purpose of your life on this earth? These temptations were apparently a necessary test, a way of graphically and forcefully bringing any doubts to a head. A way of convincing Jesus that he was capable of conquering everything the devil could throw at him, and also that Jesus was fully capable of living out the call that God the Father had laid before him. When you think about fasting, fasting is one of those disciplines that John Wesley had identified for his adherents. Fasting is a way to put aside some of the distractions in one's life, a way to focus more fully on God's communication. And in the Bible, any time you see 40 days and 40 nights, that's simply a code phrase that means a really long time. And so it's no mere coincidence that our modern observance of Lent runs from Ash Wednesday, roughly 6 weeks, through to Easter Sunday. And if you look at that time period, it about counts out to 40 days and 40 nights. Well, there are some answers, all right, but I think that might raise more questions. What does Lent have to say to you and me in this 21st century world? How can we empathize with Jesus in this story? How do we feel and respond to what Jesus went through? And how are you tempted? What kind of temptations do you face? And through what kind of wilderness do you wander? Well, if we so choose, these 40 days and 40 nights of Lent can be for us an adventure in facing temptations and in conquering those temptations. Are you tempted to do the things that you know you shouldn't do? Do you eat too much, drink too much, work too much, fish too much, or spend too much time on the internet? What are the things and habits in your life that keep you from asking hard questions about your ultimate purpose and about your relationship with Jesus Christ? Are you tempted to keep from doing those things that you know you should do? Do you find too many excuses not to exercise or to take care of your body? Do you eat a diet of mostly junk food, rationalizing that cooking nutritious and healthy food just takes too much time? Are there spiritual disciplines that you're aware of that if you would just begin to practice them, you would begin to develop a closer relationship with God? Things like reading your Bible a few passages every day, or fasting one day a week, or making an effort to talk with God a few minutes every day, or reaching out to another person who could use a smile or a phone call. For Jesus, this Lenten journey through the wilderness was a necessary and exciting precursor to a whole new area of ministry in His life. And it can be the same kind of journey for every one of us. This is a path that we must each travel alone, but it is also a journey that we can take collectively as a community of faith to bring us much closer to living the kingdom life of Jesus Christ. Many people in their past have known Lent as a time when they give up something they like. Have you ever done that? This, I believe, was in order to practice sacrifice, in order to conquer the temptation. So folks that I knew gave up watching television or eating ice cream or going bowling. But I would suggest that you try adding something to your life, perhaps one of these spiritual disciplines, like reading the Bible or fasting or praying or reaching out to someone in need, as a way of deepening your relationship to God. I often wonder if sometimes we collectively are tempted to simply accept the status quo in our life in the church. Over the years, I've heard several people come to me and tell me that they are finished with helping out in the congregation. I've taught Sunday school. I've served on committees. I've helped out with community meals. Been there, done that. I've done my time in helping out with the church, and I'm finished. And you know, that attitude makes me sad. While I certainly have heard of Christians who are retired, I frankly don't understand the concept of retired Christians. God never stops loving us and forgiving us and offering us eternal life. And so I hope and pray that each one of us never stops learning and loving and growing in our faith and our service to God and to God's people. Why would we ever knowingly walk away from the joy of serving God and giving back a small portion of the many blessings that God has so freely offered us? And so I challenge every one of us here this morning to renew our commitment to this congregation, to renew our relationship with each other and our relationship to God. I challenge us to become more involved in our church. A concrete suggestion? Talk to Melba Taylor or Ken Burvey and volunteer to help out with the Metro District annual celebration that will be here at our church on Saturday, February 23rd. Volunteer to help out in the kitchen or to be an usher or a greeter. Share that family feel and Christian warmth that we all feel here at Burns Church. Has anyone ever described to you the life of a disciple of Jesus Christ as an easy path? No way. It's hard work and a lifelong journey that is full of temptations, but it can provide meaning and joy every step of the way if we will only follow Jesus and rely on His grace. And during this period of Lent of 2008, I am challenging us as a community of the United Methodist Church to step out into an important missionary path. I'm challenging us to learn about and to support the United Methodist Global AIDS Fund. I challenge us as individuals to open our minds and our hearts to learn about the devastating effects of HIV/AIDS on men, women, and children throughout the globe, and then to respond as Jesus would respond, as caring and compassionate Christian people. I ask you, every one of you, to read the material that I've included in your bulletin, all four pages, sometime this week, and to listen as the Sundays of Lent unfold in our congregation, as we together try to learn more about the plight of our brothers and sisters around the world. And I have set myself a goal. I pledge to set aside $1 on every day of Lent so that on Easter Sunday, when we together celebrate the resurrection of our Lord, I can offer my $40 donation to the United Methodist Global AIDS Fund. And as your pastor, I challenge each and every one of you, as an individual or as a family, to do the very same thing. To set aside $1 for every one of those 40 days and nights of this wilderness journey through Lent. My goal is to have our congregation donate at least $1,000 to this critically important mission work. That's roughly $5 for every person on our membership rolls, or the same $40 donation from only 25 families or individuals. $1,000. These are small steps that we can take as individuals, but as a collective body of Christ, we can make a significant contribution to the Global AIDS Fund on Easter Sunday. But perhaps even more importantly, we, the people of Burns United Methodist Church, can come together as a congregation of missionary people, called out by God, called out specifically by God for a special task, to make disciples of Jesus Christ and to transform the world by sharing the love of God in real and tangible ways. You can make a difference in this world. We can make a difference in this world. If we will only have faith in Jesus Christ, we can walk through the wilderness of Lent and we can face our temptations. We can take action as committed Christians and we can truly change the world as God is my witness. Amen.